New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, indeed. Hi, how are you? Happy Wednesday to you. Glad you could join us on this 11th day of July, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and where do we start today, boys and girls? We've got a lot of... I told you this week is going to be all international. The president's off at NATO. That's going to go for a couple of days. Then he's going up to England. That'll be for a couple of days. Then over to Helsinki to sit down and have a meeting with Vladimir Putin. So we pick up the president in NATO. He arrived yesterday, and I'm sure you have probably seen some of the clips, some of the stories, some of the news about the fact that the president's there, and they all seem to ring of the same kind of tone, which is the president's out of control. He is blustering and bullying and on and on and on. And I know he does that, but I don't consider this to be any of that. And I think it is wildly misreported, because I think President Trump is calling a spade, and it's not, I know the headlines are all about the fact he's saying, hey, I'm the bill collector. You guys are supposed to be paying your bills and you're not paying them. Yeah, he did say that in all of that, but that is not the big issue that is facing NATO or the security of the NATO nations. And Donald Trump is calling it exactly right, I think, about the fact that he sat down at a breakfast meeting this morning. And he was across the table. His people were across the table from the NATO Secretary General, Jens Stoltenberg. And Trump was just telling it like it is. And saying Germany is Russia's captive. So... let me point out to you why I believe that he is right on calling this out. And that is really about the security of Western Europe and the NATO nations, most of them. Most of them are around, you take a look at a map, I mean, you got a lot of those former Soviet bloc Eastern European countries that are part of, there's 29 countries involved. There were 28 and then one more added recently. So, And then you got Turkey in there, which is a real question mark anyway. But I think the president is right. And so, yeah, they need to pay their bills. And I'll give you a rundown on exactly how much everybody owes, how much they're paying, what share they're behind on, and who is actually paying the bills on time. But I think this pipeline, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is a Russian oil pipeline straight to Germany through the Baltic, underneath the Baltic Sea, and an 800-mile-long pipeline, which they are building. And Germany is doing this unilaterally. They're not. It's NATO is not about this sort of thing. This is for Germany to develop their own interest. This is for France, for Belgium, for all of them to develop their own policies. But what this pipeline does is it gives Russia enormous control over Germany. And Germany is the big kid on the block when we talk about the European Union. So if you did not hear it yet, here is the president at breakfast with the NATO people. And he just is calling it out. I mean, maybe you think this is bullying. I don't. I think he's just calling it like it is. Let's listen.
Well, I have to say, I think it's very sad when Germany makes a massive oil and gas deal with Russia, where you're supposed to be guarding against Russia, and Germany goes out and pays billions and billions of dollars a year to Russia. So we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting all of these countries. And then numerous of the countries go out and make a pipeline deal with Russia, where they're paying billions of dollars into the coffers of Russia. So we're supposed to protect you against Russia, but they're paying billions of dollars to Russia. And I think that's very inappropriate. And the former chancellor of Germany is the head of the pipeline company that's supplying the gas. Ultimately, Germany will have almost 70% of their country controlled by Russia with natural gas. So you tell me, is that appropriate? I mean, I've been complaining about this from the time I got in. It should have never been allowed to have happened. But Germany is totally controlled by Russia because they were getting from 60 to 70% of their energy from Russia and a new pipeline. And you tell me if that's appropriate, because I think it's not. And I think it's a very bad thing for NATO, and I don't think it should have happened. And I think we have to talk to Germany about it.
Yeah. I don't know. I did not hear the bullying. I did not hear the brashness. So he's just saying, look at what's going on here. Russia is getting paid billions of dollars a year by Germany, and Germany cut this deal for themselves so that they will have Russian energy. But you can, it's easy to point out, you don't need to be an international expert to figure out the fact that what this does is it gives Russia an enormous amount of control over Germany. Germany is Russia's biggest export market. They export more Russian products, primarily oil, to Germany than anywhere else in the world. And that's today. This project, when it's done, will roughly double the amount of Russian exports via the Baltic route on this Nord Stream 2 tunnel, a barrel, or a tunnel that's going in from Russia to Germany. So in the wintertime, it gets kind of dicey. And it gets very, very dicey because of the fact that Russia can then, when things are cold in Europe, all they have to do is say, we want you to jump, and Europe has to, Germany has to say how high. Because if they don't comply with whatever Russia wants, then Russia starts turning down the volume of the amount of oil that is being sent through the Baltic route. Now, take a look around Europe, because Europe gets most of their oil primarily from gas fields, natural gas fields up in the North Sea. But that is diminishing. And over the next two or three decades, it will go from a third of the supplies to Europe to essentially disappear. So I don't blame Germany. They're going, okay, we need an energy supply. Where are we going to get it? Russia. Hey, besides that, Gerhard Schroeder, who was the chancellor of Germany from 98 to 2005, he's a socialist democrat. That's the party he belonged to. So he leaves as the chancellor of Germany, and he goes to work for Russia. He becomes the chairman of Rosneft, which is Russia's largest oil company. He's the chairman of that company. He's also on the board of Gazprom, also controlled by the Kremlin. And so he put this deal together saying, hey, I speak German, you speak German, let's put this deal together. And he will make lots of money, and so will Gazprom, and so will Rosneft, and Germany will be at the beck and call of Russia. No question about it. So do you think this has any security problems between Russia and NATO? If Germany is the biggest country in Europe that's in NATO, and they are reliant upon Russia, and what the president was clearly saying was, wait a minute, Germany, you're paying billions of dollars a year to Russia. and hope that they don't cut you off, that they supply you with the energy that you need, but they could at any time if you make them mad. And you're not providing the money to NATO that you're supposed to be paying, and we are overpaying in NATO to protect you from Russia. This makes no sense. And I'm listening to the president going, it's impeccable common sense. I get why Russia is nervous. Now, some of you will say, all right, well, Tom, we are now one of the biggest oil, gas-producing countries in the world. So I see what this is. This is a deal where Donald Trump is trying to make sure that our U.S. export energy business will have a big market in Europe and cut Russia out. Yes, you're absolutely right. But that is not the chief reason. I mean, we would love to be able to be the major supplier for them, but it also would give us a better tie with Germany and with NATO. And it would give make it harder for Russia to try and interfere in Eastern Europe or even Western Europe political affairs by turning the volume up or down on their energy during the wintertime. And there's other nations, Poland, Ukraine, a number of Eastern European nations are not happy about what Germany is doing. Germany's off on their own doing this deal because they've got their former chancellor who's in bed with the Russians and is in bed with Angela Merkel, who grew up in Eastern Germany. So we're supposed to be protecting NATO away from the Russians, and the Russian president is Schroeder's one of his best friends. So, I mean, I don't know whether the president's going to make any headway, but I see the security problem in addition to the fact that the people aren't paying their bills. What do you think of this? Is he bullying them, or is this a reality check about their future and the security of the future? Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. You can find the number at TomSullivan.com.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
Do the show. I just got my translator app up and going, and I was going to do the show in Russian. Because I want my own oil company. I mean, that's the way you want to make a few dollars. So Gerhard Schroeder's doing just fine, and he set up this pipeline, and Germany says, hey, it's good for us. And they can cut their own economic deals. NATO is about a defense organization. We protect each other militarily. But you can see Russia will have an enormous clout over, leverage over the German government. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Oh, talking about geology, there's Mark in Louisville. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Tom. There's two figures we need to concentrate on, 52% and 70%. 52% of the Russian revenue comes in from energy, and it's 70% of their exports.
Yeah.
Think about that. One of every $2 is energy. Now, everybody will agree that Russia is a bad actor all over the world.
Yeah.
And we need their cooperation in Syria and North Korea and other places, right?
Right.
Well, the only leverage, what leverage do we have over Russia other than energy?
Oil prices. That's it.
I mean, military, that's it.
Yeah.
So... I mean,
and a lot of people go back to the collapse of the Soviet Union and say Ronald Reagan, you know, did this and that and everything else by building up our defense. He also the oil prices reaching at the time record lows crushed the Soviet economy, just crushed it. So they are very reliant upon oil. Yes.
And I think that's been Trump is the master of leverage. And the leverage is He's expanded fracking. He's opened up Anwar. He's allowed for the and this is the big one, the export of liquefied petroleum natural gas.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, he's getting ready to go in this meeting, and Germany completely undercuts any leverage we have over Russia. Completely. And it's insane. It's like a group. It's like funding a police force to try to keep the mafia under control, and then the government is hiring the mafia under contract to do shipping and waste disposal.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, I see where somewhere in Vladimir Putin's thoughts is this is how he is going to leverage control over not only Germany, but NATO and the rest of not only Eastern Europe, but and nobody's going to do anything as long as he can take Estonia, he can take the number of those former Soviet states and invade them and take them. And Germany rises up and says, you can't do that. And he said, do you want your oil or don't you? Go away. Leave us alone.
I mean, remember Mad Max and the Thunderdome? Who was controlling it? The little guy that controlled the methane down in the pit underneath the city?
Yep.
I mean, you control the energy, you control them. And it is absolutely strategically insane, and it completely undermines any leverage that the West has over Russia and their meddling in foreign affairs.
The beauty of this whole thing is Gerhard Schroeder is making a fortune for himself personally. He has got, of course, as a former chancellor, great ties with Germany. Angela Merkel grew up in Eastern Germany. This all ties together just so nicely that it seems like Russia and Germany that fought each other in World War II are more than just friends now. They're business partners. They're about to be even more in bed with each other than before.
And Tom, the fracking is the biggest game changer in global politics when it all plays out. And we in the United States, as the largest now producer of oil in the world, now have the ability to give, to apply leverage over Russia's energy economy, and it's being undercut.
Yeah. How are you going to sell U.S. oil to Germany when the chancellor is in bed with the former chancellor, figuratively?
Exactly. So, I mean, they are absolutely undercutting the leverage that we could apply to get Russia to be more responsible on
and
the world stage.
It undercuts NATO security. And that's what the president's pointing out. You people are fools to let Germany do this. But they're all sitting around having their diplomatic tea and speaking nice to each other while NATO burns. And Germany and Russia are laughing all the way.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Yes, I do. Welcome to the program. Happy Wednesday to you. Bob in Port St. Lucie, hold on just a second, because I want to set this up. I know what you're calling about, and I get a tweet from James, who may be in line with what you're going to say. James sends a tweet, says, Tom, you are completely ignoring Trump's complicity with Putin's Russia. How can you criticize Germany when this administration completely ignores and denies Russia's interference in one of the most sacred tenets of our democracy? Next, Trump will drop sanctions. Bet. Actually, no, he's increased the sanctions. He's thrown people out of the country. But I do agree with you about the fact that he still looks the other way because he doesn't want to know that Russia was involved in interfering with our elections. I think that it's just too close to home for him. I'm with you, James, on that. But he has been decently pushing back against Russia. The question is, what's going to happen when he and Vlad get together Monday? So, Bob in Port St. Lucie, I got the feeling that's kind of the line you're going down. Is that right, or did I misread you?
That's exactly the line I'm going down. How can he lecture Germany about making sweetheart deals with Russia when he, I think that he made some kind of a sweetheart deal with Putin? Hey, Vlad, look, you help me somehow win the election, and I'll put you in the G7 or G8 or G whatever it is. And when they weren't there, he decided to leave for Singapore.
So I take it you're in the camp that not only, I do believe that Russia, because they've been doing it for decades, they're just getting more sophisticated at it, that tried to interfere in our elections in 2016. I will go there with you in a heartbeat. But are you in the camp that says that they were in cahoots with Trump to get him elected?
It sure seems it.
Okay.
It seems it to me.
Yeah. We're still waiting for that answer, by the way, but I think a lot of people have made up their minds. So if you're in that camp, that's all I'm asking, because I look, when you talk about Paul Manafort and his business dealings and the money laundering and all of that, oh, man, he's been doing business with Russia and Ukraine oligarchs for 35 years. That's what he does for a living, but he got involved in, according to the accusations, with money laundering, bank fraud, that sort of thing. Did he were they somehow able to interfere in the election to get Donald Trump elected? I just believe that Putin has a very bad spot for Hillary Clinton, and not so much that he likes Trump, that he just wanted Hillary to lose, or at least make it very difficult for her, and assuming she was going to be president, make it difficult for President Clinton when she got into office. I think that was his goal. So I hear you about the fact that how can he lecture Germany, but I see this as apples and oranges. I see what he's doing is telling NATO, hey, we all belong to this club, and by the way, we got a problem in our club. We got a club member who's doing business with the club across town, and they're out to ruin us. I think that's what he's basically raising the red flag, saying, NATO, pay attention, because Russia is about ready to have leverage over you like you can't believe. That's what I see.
Well, then why isn't he meeting, instead of meeting with Putin, why isn't he meeting maybe with Merkel separately, and then maybe meeting with Putin?
Well, I think that's happening. Which you kind of jumped ahead of where I, because this morning I played the cut of the president at the NATO breakfast with the NATO officials. But later on, the president had a one-on-one public meeting with Angela Merkel. And Bob, it drives me nuts. I don't know if it does you, but it drives me crazy, because they both looked at each other and went, oh, we're such good friends, so good to see you, so nice we can work on partnership deals together. It was all happy diplomatic talk. But behind their backs, they're stabbing each other as hard as they can. I think it's phony. I think it's phony.
It's phony. It's a $6 bill.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, we'll see what happens on Monday when he goes over to, after he meets with the Queen and all that up in England. Over the weekend, he's going to meet with Vladimir on Monday, and we'll see how that whole thing goes. But he's, you know, he's been tough on them, on throwing people out, throwing diplomats out. The sanctions, he announced new sanctions on top of the ones that were already there that Obama left in place. So he's doing stuff. It's,
I mean, if he really wanted to sock it to NATO, what he should have said is something along the lines of, look, you either pay your bill, or next time I get, assuming that I get elected in 2020, I'm pulling out. I'm pulling my country out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he would go that far, but it obviously got to be, he's made it clear that that's something they should consider, is how far is he willing to go on all of this. So I don't know. I don't think he's bullying the NATO at all. I think he's telling them, look, you got a problem. It's called Russia and Germany, and they're in bed with each other. What are you going to do about it? So I and then the bill thing, by the way, is, oh, yeah, and by the way, you haven't paid your bills. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Bob, I'm sure we'll check back in with each other after Bob Mueller finishes whenever, if it's within our lifetime, his investigation. But I do appreciate the call very much. What else did Trump say? Oh, yeah. This is during the breakfast meeting. President said NATO is not standing up against Russia, but is putting money in Russia's pockets.
How can you be together when a country is getting its energy from the person you want protection against or from the group that you want protection?
Because we understand that when we stand together also when dealing with Russia, we are stronger. I think what we have seen is that...
No, you're just making Russia richer.
Well,
you're not dealing with Russia, you're making Russia richer.
Yeah, this Jens Stoltenberg is the head of NATO, and man alive, he's on a tightrope. Because he's trying to be Mr. Diplomat. Oh, you know, we need to stand, we're stronger together. Yeah, well, how about the money that we're sending over to him? He then went on to talk about the fact, oh, by the way, NATO, you owe the United States a lot of money.
Many countries owe us a tremendous amount of money from many years back where they're delinquent, as far as I'm concerned, because the United States has had to pay for them. So if you go back 10 or 20 years, you just add it all up. It's massive amounts of money is owed. The United States has paid and stepped up like nobody. This has gone on for decades, by the way. This has gone on for many presidents, but no other president brought it up like I bring it up. We're protecting Germany. We're protecting France. We're protecting all of these countries. And then numerous of the countries go out and make a pipeline deal with Russia.
Yeah. I don't think it's bullying. I think he's just calling it. And we happen to be NATO's biggest customer, so they ought to pay attention to who we are. One more from the president. He said Germany needs to pay more as well.
Germany is a rich country. They talk about they're going to increase it a tiny bit by 2030. Well, they could increase it immediately tomorrow and have no problem. I don't think it's fair to the United States. So we're going to have to do something because we're not going to put up with it. We can't put up with it, and it's inappropriate.
Inappropriate. So this is the guy who watches see how the ratings come out on him after all of this about America first, and that's what he's doing. He's sitting there in that NATO conference room saying, hey, America first.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
A lot of tweets, a lot of emails today. You can follow me by going to my website, TomSullivan.com. There's all the links to everything. Frederick sends me an email, says, maybe we could hear on an open mic, hey, Vlad, I have more flexibility now that I'm elected. Why wait to have Vlad and the boys have more flexibility like they did for the previous administration? I guess it's only collusion when a Republican is involved. Right. John T. says, I think there's a deal, not politics, on hotel construction with a golf course somewhere in the future. Donald Trump needs to keep good relations with Russia so he can make money down the line. Ah, so he wants to have a golf course in Russia. Why make him mad now? Who's this? Oh, Ian Bremmer. I like Ian Bremmer. Thoughtful guy. He was on CBS this morning. He said Trump is talking real tough to Germany and NATO, but has yet to say what will happen if they do not give in to his demands.
So far, what Trump has done is said, if you don't pay more, I'm going to make you really uncomfortable and be really rude in front of you. Okay. I mean, there's no or else. He hasn't said what he's going to actually do if they continue to underpay. And the Germans are not going to come close to the 2% commitment by 2024. They're good on all sorts of other commitments of social spending, for example. They're good on their climate commitments, but for some reason, not on defense. So the fact that Merkel and Trump really can't stand each other, and that this is really the part of the transatlantic relationship that is most rubbing against each other, was on obvious display at the G7. It's on obvious display as NATO opens. But so far, no direct impact on NATO itself.
Yeah, and I think Ian Bremmer has a great point. So, do you know what I'm going to do to you? I'll get back to you. Essentially, what the president's doing is he's making it awkward for everybody by pointing out that they haven't paid their bill, and he's making it very awkward for Germany, saying, look at the, you talk about a corrupt, swampy deal between your former chancellor and the current chancellor on this pipeline. That's about as swampy as you can possibly get, and he's pointing it out. And yet, do you think anything's going to change? It's too much money on the line. I'm sure Merkel's going to make a big fat penny from this as well. Back to Ian Bremmer. He explains why we spend so much on defense.
Well, sure. I mean, the fact is that the United States is the world's largest, you know, sort of defense expenditure in the world. When the Soviet Union collapsed, the Europeans no longer faced those direct threats. The Americans still had bases not just in Europe, but all over the world.
And decided it was in our interest.
When Trump talks about spending 3.5% of our GDP on defense, he's talking about our global commitments. He's also talking about the fact that if you spend 20 years in the military as an enlisted man, as my father did, you get a pension for life. Yeah. And as the Germans have found out with the Greeks, it's really hard to rip those pensions up. I mean, 10% of our spending is on pensions, for example. So, I mean, there are lots of reasons why our defense spending is high. Trump has decided, for his own reasons, that he wants to increase that defense spending. Germany has decided, for their own reasons, they don't. But I'll tell you, when he goes after German former Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder on, for example, selling them out on gas, he has a point. Schroeder is an enormous embarrassment for the German people. He has taken enormous personal financial gain for making the German government more dependent, the German people more dependent on Russian energy. It's kind of like we ask today about Trump or the Clintons.
Yeah. No, he's making Germany and NATO weaker, the former chancellor. But Merkel is right along with him. So she's got to be. What do you think? You think she's getting some money? All right. Axios goes by some of the numbers here. 29 countries across Europe supposed to spend 2% of their GDP on defense. 12 original members joined in 1949. And they've grown from 12 to 29. Montenegro became the newest member last year. I know. 62,000 U.S. troops are based in Europe as of the latest official count, 2016. Half of those in Germany and Italy and the U.K. also hosting large numbers. But half of the 62,000 are of U.S. soldiers are in Germany. 1.45% of GDP. Across all non-U.S. NATO members is invested in defense. Five members have met the 2% threshold. Three more plan to by the year's end. 15 of them have plans to get to 2% by 2024. And that's Germany, and they just keep saying, oh, yes, we will, and they don't do anything about it. 72% of all defense spending among NATO members comes from the United States. That means you and me as taxpayers. The next biggest spenders are the UK, France, and Germany combined are only 20% of how much we pay as one nation in the NATO. 11 of the 29 members spend the targeted 20% of their military budget on equipment rather than on military pensions and so forth. Slovenia, Belgium, they're far short on their commitment. What else do we have? Pew Research went out and asked people on the street, hey, what do you think about NATO? Do you like it? 62% said, yep, I like them. 78% of Democrats have a favorable view. 47% of Republicans. The people who like NATO the best are in Poland and in the Netherlands. 79% of the Netherlands and Poland, Polish people love NATO. The lowest is Turkey. And the Russia question, 60% in Greece, Italy, Germany, Spain, and the UK say, yeah, the U.S., we expect the U.S. to use military force if Russia gets into any sort of serious conflict with a NATO ally. So better than 60% of those nations say, yeah, we're counting on the U.S. military to come to our rescue if Russia starts getting out of control. That's all. Germany's on that list. The people of Germany are expecting the U.S. to come to their aid. And that is why the president says, wait a minute. Why are you sending billions of dollars to Russia? And you're at their mercy. 28 of the 29 members reduced trade with Russia between 2012 and 2016 because of the sanctions. 22 of the 29 NATO members have increased defense spending since 2014 after Russia went into Crimea and took it over. So, it's they expect our blood and our treasure, and yet at the same time they're happily doing business and getting themselves into a very bad situation with the Russians. I'm not expecting anything to happen. That's the sad part. I think it's just a lot of bluster.